The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 15. As the great swamp chimpanzee was attempting to get his freak on with the less than impressed Roger, Sammy and I were finally getting ourselves disentangled from our own little jungle wrestling match, and so we were able to more or less clearly see what was happening. Hobie had also finally awoken, as a pause between Everything's Coming Up Roses and There's No Business Like Show Business had exposed his heretofore earbud-protected ears to the disturbing sounds of the kerfuffle in the clearing. He now stood staring at the fairly unnatural sight of a bent-over Roger and the love-struck simian admirer struggling in the moonlight. Alvy had finally rounded up the camels and secured them, when he too finally noticed the bizarre romance unfolding in the midst of our encampment. None of us, however, much to Roger's chagrin, did anything. We all just watched in horror and fascination as the great chimp attempted to have his way with our confused companion. Had the ape been slightly more efficient or successful with his machinations, I would like to think we would have more quickly jumped in to extricate our tentmate, but the fellow was not really making any progress towards his goal. Basically, it was just a little chimpy frottage. Disturbing to watch, probably fairly alarming to experience, but harmful? Not really. And perhaps, if I am to be completely honest here, there may have been a part of me that still harbored some resentment towards Roger for having involved me in this foolish and uncomfortable enterprise in the first place. That part of me, however small, may have been somewhat enjoying this business. At any rate, we all, including the camels, who were probably no less mesmerized than we, just stood there for some moments. Eventually, of course, we roused ourselves and began the work of rescuing our companion. Normally, in the case of rutting dogs and such like, a dousing with cold water is the customary method, but we had neither cold water nor bucket to hand. Therefore, we decided to try and remove the great chimp bodily from our hapless compadre. This proved somewhat difficult. The ape was remarkably single-minded. We pulled him off, or partially off, two or three times, and each time he returned to his desired perch. In fact, his humping never ceased. When not directly atop Roger, the object of his affections appeared to be the air that separated them. To us, he paid not a whit of attention. One is tempted to admire such focus, if only it had been directed towards a more worthwhile object. Eventually, we did manage to dissuade the persistent fellow, or perhaps for some other reason his ardor cooled, but before long we had the two separated and seated on the ground on opposite sides of the little camp. Alvy was attempting to stop Roger from reloading his revolver and exacting swift revenge for his perceived loss of dignity, and Hobie and I were standing guard over the now sedate chimp. This gave me an opportunity to observe him more closely than had been possible during the earlier fracas. He was quite large, larger than I had supposed a chimpanzee would normally grow. I would guess him to be 5 feet tall, although if his posture had been better, he might have been 5'4" or 5". And he was not a youngster. There were distinctly visible, even in that poor light, a number of gray or white hairs around his temples and on his crown. This, combined with a rather sagacious look about his heavy brow, gave him a fairly distinguished-looking appearance when he wasn't frantically trying to mount my friend. Seated calmly on the ground, one was almost tempted to ask him advice concerning one's future plans. He looked that wise, but, as it turned out, he really wasn't.